Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Tamika Lundy. Today, we're talking about culture, identity, and how the creative process fuels both. And the creative process that we're peeling back the layers about relates to the making of the new publication called Junk New Colors. How intriguing! Our guests are the talented photographer, academic, and scholar, Dr. Douglas Barkey, Dean of Liberal and Fine Arts at University of the Bahamas, and the vision behind this immersive experience and scholarly collaboration. We also have Christian Justillian, Associate Professor at University of the Bahamas, Colors Junkanoo Group Leader, also a scholar and academic. And we have Ayoka Seymour, who is a new BA in English grad from UB. She's a writer, scholar, and a member of the Colors Junkanoo Group. And they were all involved in the production of this publication called Junkanoo Colors. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for joining us. First things first, we'll start with you, Dr. Barkey. What was your inspiration, yes, your motivation for thinking this up, coming up with this as a project, a collaborative one, an interdisciplinary one, big word that I am sure you'll break down for us. But how did you come up with such a project?
Well, it really began when I started at UB in 2019, and I was able to get a photo pass, a street pass to shoot Junkanoo that year. First time I'd ever experienced it. And I was on a street photograph, and I loved it. I was very inspired. I shot over 2,000 photographs that night. I stayed the whole time. And I was really happy with the results. I didn't even know Chris at that time, really. I really just met him. So I didn't understand that whole connection with Junkanoo Colors or with the Colors group. But what I wanted to do, what happened after that experience was, I really wanted to know much more about Junkanoo. How did it happen? Who were the people that were making it happen? How were these costumes put together? Who wrote the music? How did people prepare for this big, you know, one night explosion of color and music? And so that started the conversation. When I found out that Chris was the leader of Colors, and I had also talked to various other different leaders, I became interested in seeing if I could attach myself, you know, embed myself into Junkanoo Group so I could really come to an understanding of what it takes to put this together. And so really the book came out of that, but really the first part was just wanting to gain knowledge, wanting to learn about this cultural phenomenon and understand it better, and then to photograph it. And by photographing it, it helps me to understand it. And then also I can convey part of my experience, my joy or energy that I receive from being in the Junkanoo parade on the street with everyone else, and convey that through images to others. And so at first it was just a matter of just make the photographs, just create a body of work, right? And then after that, over time, that sort of evolved into a book and looking for writers to write about it and interviewing Chris for much of the content and so on. So it was a evolution of a project, really, but started with that one night in 2019 of just participating in Junkanoo as a photographer.
I'm so fascinated by the fact that in 2019, it led you to want to know more. Tell me about the feelings that you had, not only photographing it, but experiencing Junkanoo at that time.
Well, I tell you what amazed me was the fans. Have you ever been to a soccer match in Europe or South America? You know, the fans are crazy. Like, they're just constantly yelling for their team. And Junkanoo is the same. It's like I would hear the group would come down the street, and behind me as I'm photographing, there's all these people yell at the top of their voices, "Go, you can do it," you know, and shouting the name of their group, whatever it happens to be. And so that intensity was really interesting, plus intensity of the actual performers. So they were out there. It didn't feel like, sometimes you go to a parade, like I've been to the Macy's parade in New York many times, And it's pretty professional, and people just kind of march, do the thing, they play some music, but there's really no passion. And on the street in Nassau, you're seeing this incredible intensity, this desire to put it all, leave it all in the street, you know, with all your energy. The fact that they go all night, right, come around again for a second round, you know, there's just so much there to really experience. So I really felt like that energy, the cleverness of the costumes, the way the costumes just took over someone's body, and the way they sort of expanded the body, they were like walking sculptures with this highly energetic human, you know, in the middle of it.
Chris Justillian, is anything about what Dr. Varkey just said surprising for you? You know, Junkanoo is very much a part of who we are, and it's such an exciting and invigorating thing. You're the leader of the Colors Junkanoo group, the B group, but not a B group, but a B group. Tell us more.
Well, I've been involved in Junkanoo for several decades now with Colors. And before that, I was involved with in the A category, which is larger groups. And the reason why I wanted to get into the smaller groups is to have more of an impact with each individual in the Junkanoo arena. I Douglas Varkey is definitely correct. There are so many things that happen to make a parade successful or to make a group successful in coming out on top. You have the music, dance, art side of it, the engineering of costumes, the discipline that each individual must bring to the organization to get to places and on time and learn their music, learn their craft. One of the things I'm extremely proud of in our organization is the fact that each individual actually touched their costume. They actually learn how to paste. They learn how to do the art of Junkanoo, not just get someone to build for them and pick up and contract someone to work on their costume. So we take the pride in being a catalyst in maintaining the craft and sending it into the future with the young people, the many young people that come to us. Another thing that I'm very proud of, to be honest with you, is the fact that Colors, we bring Bahamian themes to Junkanoo every season. Bahamian themes, we stress that. We have enough things to sing about or to talk about or to bring to our fans that needs to be told. Enough stories about the islands, enough stories about the way of life. That is very, very important to us.
Everything about what you said is like a projection of you being that quintessential teacher at heart. When I think about Junkanoo, there's this phrase that resonates in my mind, and you and Ioka should be familiar with it, but it's that phrase, that sentence, I come to get me. And in my mind, Junkanoo is a lot about the individual and how they connect with their culture and who they are and their heritage, but it's also about building community. Am I right?
Most definitely. This is one of the few places, a few instances that persons from all walks of life, if you think about it, prime ministers down to the people who are the janitors, the nurses, the doctors, the carpenters, students, young, old, skinny, fat, pretty, ugly, all pretty ugly. They all come together, and there's no chief in this tribe, because the most humble person you can meet may have the talent to build your costume, or maybe the best musician, or maybe the best dancer. There's no classism in this group. Everyone brings something to the table, and there's really little room for discrimination.
We're all one. We're all one. And into that cornucopia, right, comes this effervescent personality, this young lady, talented lady, but an old soul, Ioka Seymour. What led you to want to connect with a project of this nature? You are a writer, but you are also a member of the Colors Junkanoo group. Tell me about how you became connected with this really intriguing project and process.
Well, so that's a very interesting question because I just feel like everything fell into place. I'm new to the Junkanoo scene, relatively new. This will be my third season, but I love just behaving. I love Junkanoo. I was a spectator for most of my time, like Dr. Baki said, the fans and the energy. That is one thing I do miss. I loved being in the bleachers, cheering for the groups, all the energy. But I joined Colors the right after the first year after COVID because we were out for a while. Like we didn't have Junkanoo. And I had taken a Junkanoo class actually at UB English 360, y'all English anyway, with Nicolette Bethel. And part of the classes that we're supposed to go to a shack, but there were no shacks open because, like I said, we were closed for COVID. But I was in the class, and one of the questions was, who all has never participated in Junkanoo? And I was the only person who raised my hand, and I was shame, because it's like, I'm a Bahamian, I love our culture, and I've never participated. And that was when I decided I'm definitely, as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm going to participate. And so the next season, Junkanoo opened up, and I joined Colors because Colors is, like you say, it's not a B group, it's not an A group, it's a world-class group. And I want to be a part of it. I knew that I would learn about Junkanoo. I knew that it was safe. I knew that this was the group that fit me best. And ever since then, I like the Distillion said, we learn in the shack how to actually build our costumes. And I'm very much a girly girl. So in my piece, I talk about the shack, and when I got burnt from hot glue for the first time, I said that was like a christening, and that's when you earn your stripes in the shack. It's like, so nobody builds your costume for you. I mean, yes, you get help and people teach you, but you have to come and you have to paint, you have to staple, you have to bend the wires, and you have to actually do it. And I feel like that's a wonderful process, and also helps the art to not get lost, because if someone's going to do it for you every time, then we when the younger gen like when the older generation is no longer able to, who knows how to do it? So that's what I really appreciate about being a part of Colors, is it you learn how to continue the craft. But to answer your question, that's how I got involved in Junkanoo on the whole officially. But to answer your question on how I got involved with this project, I mean, we used to be at rehearsal, and I saw the embarkee, taking photos, and I didn't really know what it was for at first. We were just practicing in the shack, learning our routine, having big practice, and he was just there taking photos. On one day, the embarkee approached me, and he told me about the project and asked if I would like to write a piece, because, like I said, I was an English major, I'm an English grad. And so I'm a writer, and I asked him what he wanted me to write about, and he said the shack. And I at first I felt kind of like, oh, I ain't no expert on the shack. But then when I thought about it, I go there, every day we had the shack for months, and I'm like, yeah, I do know quite a bit about what the shack is like. So I just told it from my perspective and what I experienced there, and that's how I ended up in Junkanoo Colors, the book.
Mrs. Justillian, she said the older generation. I know she can't be talking about you, right? She'd be talking about other people.
She talking about the older people than me, not me.
Yes, not you. You're the younger generation.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Barkey, you were in the belly of the Colors Junkanoo group, right? You spent a lot of time with them. You're an honorary member. So, tell me about the experience and how it all came together in a way that ended up making this publication so special.
Well, I think an aspect that makes it distinct from other books on Junkanoo or other photography books is the fact that of the 168 pages in the book, 50 are dedicated to the rush. Everything else is really about the community that you were discussing earlier with Chris. And that really was my primary interest. I wanted to definitely show the performance and the extravagant costumes and sort of the finished look, the finished version, but also wanted to really dig into how people got there, how what was the process to get there. And so a lot of focus is on the community that makes it happen. So the book includes lots of images from rehearsal, from crafting things together, also social connections. I really tried to show how social relationships happen. There's a series of sports photographs, for example, of three men talking, and I remember that moment. They're all discussing talking about religion, and so they were. And that's the thing that really made me, or a thing that was very fascinating, also was how the shack becomes this place of social encounter where anything is discussed, from politics to religion to, even the actual things of Junkanoo, but everything else is discussed as well. And so I tried to capture that in the photographs, how people related to each other and really became a family in that regard. And that all led up to then performance. I thought it was important for people to understand, or the viewer to understand the people. Like, I really wanted them to see the people. So I made a series of portraits as well, so people could just get a chance to look at and see someone. In fact, part of the book has like a double portrait. There's an image of the way the person came to rehearsal in their street clothes, and then an image of them from the night for Boxing Day when they're actually performing. And so that comparison, I think, is a really interesting comparison between their expression. So as they take on that character of the performance with the character just as they're coming off the street. And I thought that comparison, in a way, showed a lot about what Junkanoo was about. Sort of taking on the identity, I think you brought earlier, they take on an identity of some kind for the performance. So that really was the, I think, the crux of the book. Yeah, the purpose of it was exploring behind the scenes.
Was there anything that stood out to you during this time that was surprising?
I don't think I realized how much work to do. I mean, it's an amazing amount of work. There are people in the shack that go there every night of the week, every evening they're there. If they're not doing a costume, they're helping someone else. If they're not doing choreography or drawing or gluing, they're involved in some way. So there's this core group of people that run the shack, and they're kind of, then other people come in and they get assistance in doing their costume. So that part of the amount of work was really pretty intense. The other thing was, I saw the costume from zero grow to their final presentation, right? And so the stuff is made out of cardboard with rubber cement and wiring with pasted paper. The transformation is absolutely amazing. And besides my degree in photography, I have a degree in sculpture as well. And so I was very interested in the whole sculptural aspect of Junkanoo, because each costume is sort of like a walking sculpture in a way, like a live living sculpture. And so that whole process was interesting as well, how they're applying sculptural techniques to these costumes and creating these, live, beautiful, colorful, extravagant presentations for Bay Street.
There were others who were also a part of this. This is research, correct? What were you careful to do or not to do? What were you careful to preserve and maintain as a research project, even though this is research on such a vibrant and enthusiastic art form?
Well, I started with the photographs first as a way of providing direction and providing a content for people to look at. And then when I had those kind of the final group laid together, the sort of the best of the thousands I took, then I invited the writers. I sent that layout to the writers who I just sort of talked with about their interest. And I wanted a diversity of writers. So there is someone like Dr. Sarasing, who's an anthropologist and writer. There's Dr. Bethel, who writes, also an anthropologist. There's Tia Noglu, who is our curator. There's Ayoka, for example, who is a participant and a writer. So I wanted those different perspectives. So the careful part was providing the photographs as sort of this framework with which people could react. So then people looked at the photographs and they brought their own perspective into it. Someone like Darren Bastian, for example, brought his more of a like very poetic response to what it feels like to be out on the street. And so the photographs for him brought him back into the street, and he was responding to what it feels like to be out there sweating in your costume, put all your energy into it, and the sort of almost the spiritual experience that happens to the individual who's participating. And Dr. Sarasinghe took a, she had a kind of a unique experience of Rome when she was younger, but she also sort of stepped back for a minute and looked at it from a broader cultural perspective, historical perspective, and about the meaning of junkanoo and its really its connection to spiritual expression and not just being a secular thing, which in some ways it's transitioned as it becomes more and more popular, especially when it's being offered for visitors to see, you know, becomes more like a performance. But she brought out the point of how there's actually kind of a spiritual aspect to it as well. So I think when you talk about the care was bringing it all together to be a focused project, and that didn't go off in any direction where it becomes sort of not incoherent. I wanted to, the photos provide the coherency, and the writing provides all the diversity of perspective.
Okay, so Ioka, tell us about what was your piece focused and centered on, and what were you guided by? What things did you want to be careful that you wanted to explain clearly?
My piece is on the shack. I ensured that I talked about the teaching and the community in the shack, because I feel like outside of that, it's war. Like, junkanoo is war and you ain't coming to play, you know? But in the shack, it's family. And even I talked about how even when people can't or don't come to the shack, you know, we help out, we other people step in and build, like help to do some of the work for them on their costumes, because you just can't have a selfish mentality, because your costume could, especially me, like I'm not a freelance, I'm in choreograph, so it's a section and we all have to look very similar. Like, you get points for how we come together and make our costumes look alike. You have to look the same. So although you have a lot of freedom in junkanoo as a whole, it's like you still have, there's still rules and color scheme coordination. And so you could have your costume finished and it looks amazing, it's perfect, but if the rest of your section's costume isn't done, like you're not doing it by yourself. And I think that's shown in the shack, and we understand that. There's just one focus, and that's getting the group out. So I talked about the importance of maintaining that community spirit. I also, like I said, I talked about my first time in the shack, and when it was after practice, and I was drinking a bottle of water, and I asked where the garbage was. And someone told me, you know, that they say no garbage, and they just cut the bottle in half and poured like Elmer's glue in it, gave me a paintbrush, and now I had to go work on the costume with that bottle. So it's like, we don't waste things. And I think that also kind of, it shows the spirit of junkanoo. It is using these things that people might not think are important, cardboard, these things that are easily accessible, but we turn it into something that's beautiful and brilliant and can be appreciated. But I also said how you have to experience it to fully appreciate it. It's interesting, but I focus on the shack more than any other experience. Like, I don't really go into the practice or the parade, just the build up, because I feel like that's really what makes junkanoo junkanoo.
Truly fascinating. We have reached a break in the show. We are talking about junkanoo and this publication called Junkanoo Colors with our guests Ioka Seymour, Christian Gastillion, and Douglas Barkey. We'll take this break right now, but stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Act One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies, and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Welcome back to University Drive. We have as our guests Sayoka Seymour, Christian Dustillion, and Douglas Barkey. They all collaborated on a publication called Junkanoo Colors. And before the break, we were talking about the process that all came together and culminated in the production of this book. But it's about Junkanoo, something that's very near and dear to us. Something that is a very critical part of our culture and our heritage. Junkanoo as an art form, as an experience, but more so as an art form, it has evolved over the many years. Christian Dustillion, you've seen that. You've been able to observe how much it's evolved. And this publication, which is out now, is a documentation of some of that. It's a reference point, I dare say. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, we're at a very critical time in Junkanoo, especially since the introduction of the Junkanoo Carnival, where the materials, the way we work in the shack has changed. There used to be a spirit, more of a spirit of camaraderie and one of preserving the craft and getting the group out, getting any particular group out to Bay Street. But I think that's changed a lot, because with Junkanoo Carnival, you have the situation where persons on staff or on salary to come into the shack to produce costumes, and it's just a whole different mindset. But in Junkanoo, people come in and they volunteer. It used to be a spirit of coming in and giving of yourself to get your group to Bay Street. That has changed in the background, very much so. Now, the other thing is the materials. The materials used in Junkanoo Carnival is quite different. You have the use of a lot of charred paper. There's no pasting. So that craft has definitely taken root in Junkanoo as well. For example, in this publication, you can look at the costume and I think Dean Barkey has done a wonderful job with his eyes as an outsider, if I may use that word, because a lot of times as the persons who are in the craft, you don't really see what you're looking at. It takes an outside eye to really see the difference between what we're doing and what other people are doing. The photographs really depict the fringing, how you construct the costumes from cardboard to drawing, to going to white and then putting the lines in and someone actually laying gray paper. There's a lot of examples of that within the book. This past season was a particular revelation to the Junkanoo community at large, because there was a group in the B category that actually won a parade and they didn't even have on costumes. So we have relaxed the seriousness of how to preserve our culture because of the introduction of a whole new mindset. Win a parade at any cost. It's not really about the culture and how are we going to send this forward? And I think the persons who are making these determinations of what is a Junkanoo costume, what is a best Junkanoo costume, they can't see what they're looking at anymore, because there's all sorts of deviations from what Junkanoo used to be. And if we were to open this book today, a year from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, we can immediately see the difference in what Junkanoo is becoming and how it is evolving. So this is a very critical time. And as Junkanoos, we have some serious decisions to make as to what we're going to look at and what we're going to be doing in the future, what we're going to accept as this is Junkanoo, this is the tradition that we want to continue, or if we decide to change, to let everybody know what the changes are going to be so we all can play by the rules. Because you can do a Junkanoo costume that's crafty and historic and preserves the best practices, or you can get some shiny paper, some towel. In fact, towel, if you look at it, the texture, if you look from afar, it looks almost like fringing. And groups are using towel. They're using new materials, which is fine, because Junkanoo isn't what it was 50 years ago. But I think we need to manage the change a little better so that the groups that are practicing the tradition of Junkanoo, that they're being recognized for their contribution, and also they're playing by the rules. Because Junkanoo, we say it's a sport. It's not really a sport, in my opinion. It's a culture that we've inherited from our ancestors, and it's up to us to manage whether we're going to use certain materials or discard or disregard certain other materials. Because I always say Junkanoo wasn't always gray paper. At one point it used to be go get grandma dress, go get some bush, some sisal, some thatch, go get some sponge, and let's go to Bay Street and have a good time. We've evolved from that to where crepe paper was introduced. If we're going to do away with crepe paper and introduce other things, let us make a decision as a community and see if this culture is worth staying here for a little while longer, or a long time into the future. What is going to be the difference between us and Carnival and all the other festivals that we find all over the world?
How much of what you're expressing relates to interpretation and subjectivity on the one hand, and the gap that exists because there might not be a whole lot of consistent documentation of what Junkanoo is, what is it that we want to project, what is it that we want to preserve, how do we want to evolve, because Junkanoo has evolved over the years, and having it documented as a part of our oral and public history and heritage that we can actually refer to. And in comes this publication, by the way, in that, I guess I would call it a gap, that space that exists for us to continue to document a little bit more regularly. What are your thoughts about that?
One of the things that need to happen is that we have to institutionalize how we judge the parades. For example, I just completed a course that I hope may be of some assistance in that area called Junkanoo Studies. It's going to be an interdisciplinary course that brings in the art department, the music department, and the dance program that we recently introduced to the university. Persons that are chosen or selected to judge the parades, many of them, all due respect, have no training in that area. So they don't know what they're looking at. And you can't blame them, because if I were to ask you to judge music and you're not trained in the area of music. How can you actually be the best judge for that area? Because when I play a triad and it's a major triad and it's supposed to be a minor triad on that melody, you have no reference point. We select persons to judge. Choreography. If the choreographer has the training to do certain moves that are traditional in Junkanoo, certain moves that would definitely be a challenge for the section to execute, and someone comes down Bay Street and they're just two-stepping, that person may not even realize, wow, how did this dance section execute this move together? They have no clue. They're looking at movement, yes. They're going by a feeling, but not a training. If I were to have someone judge a costume on the construction and how this costume is able to bounce and move with a person carrying this costume, and it looks like an extraordinarily large costume, but it's carrying with such ease and doing things in that costume that the other person who has a stiff costume that's not moving, that is just coming down the street, and they win that big best costume. So the person who is looking at that, if they have no idea of engineering and the work that goes into making that costume stable and stand erect without holding it by the neck to keep it on so it doesn't fall to the side. And if that costume win, we're not really doing the best job at promoting the best practice in all areas. I think several years ago, there was an introduction of using qualified and experienced persons in judging the parades. Persons who knew music were sought after to give their input or to make their determination on what is the best music. Persons who were from the dance community, where they were dance teachers, experienced choreographers, they were the ones who made a determination on what is the best dance choreography. Persons who were in the building area, architects, artists, persons who design and develop costumes, who had that history, they were called on to make the determination on what is a best costume. That is no longer the case. We're getting people, we put out an ad in the paper and ask the general public, would you like to be a Junkanoo judge? And they would sit in a room for a few weeks and put on the road to judge the parades. And many, many, we do have a lot of good judges, but many of them are not qualified. They don't have the training. And it's not anything bad on them. It's just that the system is not taking into consideration that I cannot sit in a room with no musical, dance, or design training for 6 to 8 weeks and learn about harmony, learn about dance moves, learn about costume construction, learn about the materials. What is crepe paper? What is tennis ball? What do you call tennis ball material? What is towel? What is chart paper? They have no training in that area. So everything looks the same to them, but it is not. And when groups win by taking the shortcuts, it is really a sad day for the ones who are putting the days and the weeks and the months into preserving the actual cultural aspect and the design and the historic aspect of Junkanoo. I invite anyone, you can walk in the Color Shack any day, any day. We'll unlock the doors, you walk through, you will see pasted costumes in the larger percentage than all other materials used in Junkanoo. And that is my major concern. This book provides you with evidence from the day one when the cardboard reaches the shack on a truck to the time that we're ending the first, second lap on Bay and Shirley Street, what the costume looked like. And you can see the pasting, you can see the craftsmanship, you can see the theme presentation, you can see the work that goes into getting colors to be.
I'm glad to hear you address this, because it is a long-standing kind of conversation that's been happening. But there is something to be said for paying strict attention to the science and the technique of how these things are produced, these wonderful representations are produced. And Dr. Barkey, you know, you were able to observe that. But as an expatriate, you were also careful to ensure that the colleagues that you invited to collaborate on this project were also experts in their own right, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And I think, you know, I became very excited about Junku, as I mentioned, when I first saw it, when I first experienced it. And that excitement then became tempered over time as I learned more about the history, the cultural significance of it. I talked to many, many people who are leading thinkers in the Bahamas about Junkanoo or just about cultural identity and so on the way to creating the book. So I sort of immersed myself in some of that before taking it on too heavily. I think Chris mentioned an important thing about my view as an outsider. As an outsider, you sort of bring a new view because you haven't become saturated or used to, or things haven't become old to you yet. And so when I come in, things are new, right? Someone like, Yoka has rubber cemented things together and put a costume together. So for her, she's done it many times. When I come in, I'm seeing this process. And so I'm able to kind of step back in a way that someone who's done it 100 times can't, because they've done it so much. So that outside view, I think, is important because it provides a certain new perspective, or just a different perspective on it, that can be then insightful. This book, in a way, is documents this one moment in time. It's the 2022 Junkanoo Festival, which was the first time Junkanoo was back after COVID. So that in itself is kind of significant, but also it captures the current technique. It captured the materials being used, the people involved. So that was very important. And then basically bringing in the writers that added this whole perspective, that then they were able to interpret my photographs, provide the photographs context. So in a way, I'm offering, here's my view, right? Here's my perspective, all these photographs I've made, and now you look at it and respond. You know, tell us about your response. The great thing I love about this book is the whole thing that Chris launched into with the all the regulations, the limitations, the way things are organized. This book has provoked a lot of discussion around that. It's kind of interesting. When we've had a couple of panel discussions, people start talking about the book a little bit, but it immediately launches off into discussion of Junkanoo. So the book has become kind of a talking point, a provocation for talking about all the things around Junkanoo. How do we teach children about Junkanoo, for example? That's always a big, big important thing. What are the rules and regulations? How should we limit it? You know, how do we use new technology in ways that don't completely overtake the craftsmanship that's been evolving over time? How those two come together in a way that is uniquely Bahamian and uniquely also creative and so on. So those are certain important considerations in putting the book together, selecting the photographs, and then in working with the writers on creating the more content for the book.
Okay, I'm gonna ask this question now, and I'd really like a response from all of you. What do you hope that readers will take away from this book?
Well, if I may jump in on that question, there's a word that I think we need to familiarize ourselves with in Junkanoo, even more so now than ever: integrity. Integrity. We have an awesome opportunity, and a lot of you may not like what I'm saying, but we have an awesome opportunity to not just teach the craft of Junkanoo, but shape attitudes for social development in this country. For example, I'm going to take a step back to Junior Junkanoo. Junior Junkanoo, over the years, I mean, over the decades, I would say, we have a missed opportunity in teaching our young people that they're short in life. For example, I taught at the government high school for nearly 10 years. Even back then, in the 90s, schools and school principals would allow outsiders, persons who graduated or persons who are from other schools, to come in and perform with their junkanoo, with their school, just to win over another school. That is the wrong messaging in my mind. I complained about it back in the 90s, and it's prevalent more so today than ever. There's no way in the world that I would encourage or endorse sending persons from the A or the B category group to rush with a primary or secondary school just to win a parade. Because that student that is in your group is going to have the mindset that I'm going to bring in persons, and it doesn't matter how I gain an advantage just to win a parade. I think you have an awesome opportunity to teach the young people, listen, whatever you have, do your best with it. And it can't just be about winning at all cost. The other thing that I have about the Junior Junkanoo program to complain about, if this is Junior Junkanoo, it should prepare them for Senior Junkanoo. We should do as much as we can to ensure that the students learn how to paste their own costume. If pasting is a part of the senior program, why are we not introducing pasting in the junior program? So the attitudes that we bring into the shack of working together, helping each other out, using the materials that fuel the senior parades, if we don't bring that into the junior parade, make it a part of it, even if it's not to the extent of the senior programs, we have an opportunity to introduce it. In the art classes, teach the students how to paste, how to use crepe paper, how to use contact cement, how to build the costume. So when they get to a Colors or Saxon or a Valley or One Family or Redland, whatever group they decide to go on to, they would bring some skill into that organization and an appreciation for how to preserve this culture. We can't use cloth in a junior program exclusively and expect them to know and have them have an appreciation for what it takes to actually go to the after-school program, learn how to dance properly, learn how to design costumes properly, and learn how to decorate, and so on and so on. In fact, I believe that it's cheaper to use crepe paper than all of the other materials that we're using. A sheet of crepe paper is under $1. A yard of some of the materials that we're using now is probably up to 10, 12, 15, $20 a yard. So it makes no economic sense. That's why a lot of groups find themselves in problems in getting to Bay Street with the limited sponsorship that is out there. But it also is a it's a missed opportunity in really helping the young people to appreciate the art. And before I conclude this part of my statement, I'd like to thank all the many sponsors, including our sponsor, Leno Corporate Service, who come up every year with funds to assist the groups, because that's something that is few and far in between when it comes to the culture. We want for persons who are coming into the country to give more. And seed funding is supposed to be, I think, seed funding would be best used in the younger organizations if they're utilizing the rules that are set in place and enforcing them. Because the groups that have been around 30, 40, 50, 60 years, they're probably well established and have good support from the community for the most part. But those of us who are the younger groups that are working with young people, well, I think that's where the impact needs to be made more of a focus.
Valid points and all relevant to building excellence and the pipeline for talent and participation. Dr. Barkey, takeaways from the publication for readers.
Yeah, I thought the title of the book was really important, and calling it Junkanoo Colors was meant to refer not just to the Colors chat group, but also to the color of Junkanoo. First of all, it's very colorful, visually colorful, but it's culturally colorful as well. There's colorful characters. There's the color of the character of the celebration. So I really wanted people to think about color beyond pigmentation, but thinking about sort of all the unique features that are just add color to our lives, I guess, in Junkanoo. And I really hope that at the end of the book that the viewer comes to appreciate the amount of work and creativity that goes into Junkanoo. But also I wanted to really communicate the joy of Junkanoo, that because that's one thing I experienced. I didn't mention that earlier, because I mentioned intensity and passion. But the other thing that I saw, especially in colors, was simply the joy of doing this. I mean, it's an amazing amount of work. People are at 2 a.m. in the shack. They're happily working. They're enjoying the time they're spending with their partners in the group. They're enjoying working on the, even though they're working hard and sweating and you know, just have an intense emotional reaction on Bay Street. It's joyful. They're enjoying it. It's something that just brings joy. And so I wanted to, in the book, to bring that same joy to the reader. I wanted to feel that sense of contentment, satisfaction in producing Junkanoo, producing this experience for others. And I think the joy comes from a couple of things. One is the joy of creativity, that you've made something, you produce something. So as Chris mentioned, the fact that people paste up their own costumes and then wear them, you know, that you're showing off your artwork as you go down the street, as you dance, do the choreography you've been practicing for many months and so on. You're sharing that joy of creativity with others. But then in that shared experience, the audience's response, right? The fact that the audience doesn't respond by booing people. The audience responds by cheering on every group, right? They applaud the creativity. They applaud the extravagant costumes, the details, everything. It's like everyone, it's like a shared joy. Everyone is really uplifted by this moment of Junkanoo. And I really wanted the book to uplift others in the same way.
Okay, and you, Ioka?
For me, there's two things. There are two things that I want people to take from the book. The first one is I want people to see and appreciate the amount of work that goes into the parade, because like the book covers the process from beginning to end. And I think once people see that, they'll begin to understand, like Mr. J was saying, why it's important. The pasting is important. It's like, instead of using shimmery paper, I mean, while evolution is important and appreciated because, you know, Junkanoo evolves. That's just what it does. There was a time when we didn't have horns in Junkanoo. So you can't take away from that. But I think if people could appreciate it more, they'd better understand it. Because the first time I pasted my costume, I did not want to put any tricks, any gems, nothing on it. It was just so beautiful because I knew what it took to cut. And I am a little perfectionist, so to cut my crepe paper so specifically, you know, if people see that process and the work that goes on, I want people to see that. And the second thing I want people to take from this book is the importance of documenting, because the Bahamas were an oral society. We have an oral culture, you know, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it. A lot of our stories, everything we know, like even what we're talking about, Sarah C., a lot of things we know because people tell us, but where are the books? I mean, there are books, don't get me wrong, on bush medicine, but where are the books? Where are the books on Jhonkhun? There are a few. I did a Jhonkhun class. We had about three or four textbooks, and people are writing. And that's what I want people to do more of. Write down what's happening in Jhonkhun as it happens, because if we rely on memory, it will get lost. So that's what I want people to take.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a really fascinating conversation. And in the few minutes that we have left, I'm going to open it up now for our wrap-up comments from all of you. It's a wonderful piece of work. I invite people who are interested in connecting with Junkanoo and seeing the process of how it comes about to really reach out. Dr. Barkey, I don't know if you want to give information on how people can get a copy of the book who might be interested in reading it. Share that, please.
Yes, I'd be happy to. The book is available at our Chapter One bookstore. So it's available there. It's also at Logos Bookstore in the Harbor Bay Mall. The Atlantis gift shop is also available there. Well, I want to say it was a pleasure to work with my colleagues on this. I think Chris has been incredible help for me, as well as Dr. Nicolette Bethel. They provided a lot of context to help me understand and really develop the eventual visions. As I mentioned before, it evolved into from kind of a general project into a very specific product like a book. I think their support and thoughts along the way was really, really important. It's such an interdisciplinary topic, really, when you think about Junkanoo itself, just the fact that the costumes are sculptures, that there's music involved, dance involved, and then there's the actual performance itself. So there's just a lot of different aspects to it, which make it really rich to explore as a photographer. So I appreciate the opportunity. I'm so glad that Junkanoo was created. I had the opportunity to actually get on the street and participate with the Junkanoo Colors group and really make this book that is about them and also about all of Junkanoo.
Well, I'd like to thank the team, the administrative team of Colors. We have a very dynamic group of persons who come together in training all of the different areas in our organization. And without their assistance, we really couldn't be as organized as we are. Leno has always they have been by our side for some time now, and I want to thank them again for their contribution, and look forward to future collaboration. And I'd like to thank Dean Barkey for coming in. I remember the first time I took him to the shack just to take a look around. I saw the spark in his eyes, and this turned out to be a wonderful project. And I hope that everyone out there make an effort. Have a copy in your office. Have a copy at your school. Have a copy in our libraries, so that the word can be put out there of how Junkanoo is done, how we're trying to preserve this most significant art form for the future of the country. And I think this is a wonderful contribution to the future of Junkanoo.
I would like to say that I'm also honored to be a part of this project. And thank you, Mr. J. Dean Barkey. I'd like to tell people that this, like I said, this is my third season I'm going into. So I'm no expert. I'm learning and I'm just offering what I have. So get involved. You should get involved in Junkanoo. You should get involved in projects like these. And it doesn't, it's not for people who've been there for decades, for years even. It's yours. Junkanoo is yours and you could come to get you.
Very good. Special thank you to our guests, Christian Justillian, Douglas Barkey, Ioka Seymour, for joining us for this episode of University Drive. Thank you so much to our listeners for staying tuned in with us for this wonderful conversation. So please continue to stay connected with us. This has been University Drive. Join us again for another episode next time, same place. Take care, everyone.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.